Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe with a different host and a different focus. I'm your host this week, Jack Williams. This week we're talking about redemptive journalism. Today I'm joined by Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, heard on EWTN Radio. She joins us from Michigan. Anna Mitchell is the co-host and producer of the Sunrise Morning Show. She's with us today from Ohio. And we also have with us Jeanette DeMello, executive director of the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency. She joins us from the great state of Louisiana. Ladies, this is a topic that is becoming more and more concerning from a viewpoint of people of faith as each day seems to go by. And each of you has a background in journalism, dare I say, when it still was journalism. And we'd like to hear a little bit about how you arrived where you are today. Teresa, I know there was a time when you were running around chasing cameras in the streets of Detroit.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. And it doesn't seem that long ago, but it actually was over 21 years ago is when I left the secular media. And I saw it changing even before the time I left. And that's one of the reasons why I left. And it went from journalism and real reporting to, I would say, more about being an advocate for a particular cause. Not only that, I just saw it become so sensational and a real emphasis on violence and more concerned about ratings and money than anything else, and being really informative for people so they can make a difference in terms of decisions and have information. So I saw a real demise well over 20 years ago, which led me to really seek out Catholic media.
And Anna, you have been producing the Sunrise Morning Show for many years, but I'm sure this was not your first toe in the journalistic water, as it were.
Well, it almost was, Jack. It was actually my second job right out of college about 15 years ago. December 1st, 2008 was when I started on the Sunrise Morning Show. And before that, I was just a traffic reporter, but did 4 years of journalism school at the E.W. Scripps School of Journalism at Ohio University, which is one of the more prestigious journalism schools in the country. And yeah, I have to say that I feel rather blessed and privileged that I really got the chance to hone my journalistic skills in Catholic media almost exclusively. Which, for reasons that we'll probably be talking about throughout the show today, really operating in service of the truth from the very beginning.
And Jeanette, you originally, your claim to fame most recently was the executive director of the National Catholic Register. You have since taken Catholic News Agency under your wing, which I know you hope to replace yourself at. But how did you get to us from a journalistic standpoint to begin with?
Absolutely. My journey is a little different from the two of these. I came from institutional communications. So I worked for a diocese. I worked for two dioceses, Denver and the New Orleans Archdiocese, and then moved from there to working for EWTN as the National Catholic Register's editor-in-chief. And so I've seen both sides of this journalism. So from the sense of providing information to those who need it, the journalists who need it, and then to the other side of it, which is seeking that information to give it to your audience, to our audience. And so now it's been about a decade here at EWTN.
So Anna, let me ask you, when you came most recently out of school and from a formal journalistic education, how different did the culture that you were reporting on and the climate of things, how did that differ from what you were taught in J school?
Well, I mean, in Catholic journalism, not very different, thank God. I mean, the one thing that I learned in journalism school was that you're supposed to seek out the truth. And as Catholics, I think that it's great training initially for journalism. Real journalism is to receive the truth and to then report it truthfully. And so in Catholic journalism, it was funny coming into Sacred Heart Radio and the Sunrise Morning Show back in 2008, pretty much right out of J school, I had this perception of what journalism was supposed to be. And like Teresa said, a lot of focus on violence and things of that nature. And so I was really quite pleased to be able to enter into a journalistic field that wasn't so focused on if it bleeds, it leads, that wasn't so focused on getting, well, in 2008, it wasn't, you know, clicks as much as it is today now, but still that sort of drive to get more viewership, to get more listenership by creating division. And so to be in a Catholic journalistic atmosphere from the get-go was quite the blessing in that regard.
You know, Teresa, when you were those many years ago now, when you were a wide-eyed, idealistic journalism student, an idealistic Chippewa from Central Michigan University, and you moved into the secular media, I'm sure that you had much more liberty to follow where the truth would lead than you did when you actually made the decision to leave.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear Annie speak, because I never thought in my wildest dreams, first of all, that I'd ever be working in Catholic media. I didn't know much about it. I was a fallen away Catholic for many years, and I was working in the secular media. But I always thought, because like Annie, I went to a very prestigious journalism school, Central Michigan, Ohio U, of course, Missouri and Columbia. Those are the schools that you look to when you think about the top journalism schools in the Midwest. It's Ohio U and Central Michigan, the two top J schools in the Midwest. And Central Michigan, I had great professors. It was always about seeking the truth and attribution and balance, balance, balance. And, you know, for the first few years of my career, I think it was pretty stable like that. But then it gradually started to change. And little did I know that there was no longer, it wasn't about truth anymore. It was about, again, agenda. It was about money. It was about ambulance chasing, you know, get the job done quickly and as cheaply as possible. And I go into, as Andy said, you go into Catholic media, and I'm living out everything that I learned in journalism school in the Catholic Church. I mean, it shouldn't sound crazy, because, of course, all knowledge and all truth and beauty comes from God. But if you look at the section in the Catechism on social communications and the media, and I know Annie and Jeanette would agree with me, you could literally take that section of the Catechism, and it should be hung in every newsroom in the country, because it talks about how the public has a right and the media have a responsibility. The public have a right to the truth, and the media have a responsibility to make sure that they're giving the truth without opinion and to make sure it's real information. And so it's so interesting, the journey that I've been on, where, as Annie said, being in Catholic media now, we're much more free to be able to report the truth, because we have the fullness of truth, than I was, especially toward the end of my secular career, if that makes sense.
Jeanette, talk a little bit about the challenges that you may have faced as you were moving from a diocesan setting where you were basically disseminating information out to the public, as opposed to more of a journalistic expression that you're involved in now.
Absolutely. You know, I want to talk about how it felt as a spokesperson to field a journalist's questions. You know, sometimes I could sense in myself the tension, because the questions were always full of, let's say, controversy, right? And I felt sometimes that defensiveness. But now I understand that that's a part of the story, right? That you need to get the controversy. You need to get the novelty. And you also, though, need to listen and try to offer the full perspective. And so I really learned something from that relationship as a spokesperson, where there was sometimes a tension, antagonism between the journalist and the institution. Now that I think helps inform the way my journalists do their jobs. Like, they need to disarm in some ways those that they're talking to from from an institutional perspective, by trying to help them understand that we just want to tell their story. And yes, there might be controversy involved. There may be some novel thing we're getting at. But ultimately, we do want to tell the full picture, the full story. And I think that's a relationship of trust that needs to be built.
And Anna, talk a little bit about maybe how you have to caution yourself a little bit, because there are certainly entities out there who have an agenda, as all three of you have spoken about, and are more than willing to go to just about any means to bend the facts of any situation to suit their agenda. And I'm assuming you probably have to guard yourself a little bit against making assumptions about people's motivations when you enter into any particular story.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when it comes to the Catholic Church, stories about the Catholic Church. And Teresa and I often go back and forth. She's a weekly guest on my show, and we will talk about the Newswire that we both use for the Sunrise Morning Show and for Catholic Connection, and how we have to rewrite the stories a lot when it comes to stories about the Catholic Church, because there is a real misunderstanding of religion in general. I mean, not just Catholicism, I mean, especially Catholicism, but religion in general. And so when you're looking at, particularly, I want to talk to viewers about when they're consuming media from, you know, secular media and reading a story about religion, to always take it with a grain of salt, not necessarily all the time from the standpoint of gotcha journalism, although there are certainly those out there that are looking to get the Catholic Church, to corner the Catholic Church. But some just don't have a clue what they are reporting on and have not taken the time to go out and do the research and really understand. You know, I always think about Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird, and he tells his daughter Scout that you have to walk a mile in somebody's shoes. And journalists don't really take the time to do that anymore, don't really take the time to ask penetrating questions that can really get at the motivation, particularly when it comes to a story about religion. So you're going to see in stories about the Catholic Church, about the Pope, about bishops or priests or whatever, you're going to find that there is a lot of misunderstandings, and sometimes it's on purpose, and sometimes it's just ignorance.
And Teresa, really kind of the same question to you. Do you find yourself having to consciously not project your opinions about motivations onto people as you're covering these stories?
Yeah, and I think, again, as Annie said, that for me, I do, as you know, Jack, and as our viewers and listeners may know if they listen to EWTN and I hope radio, and I hope they're doing that, Annie and I write our own news, and I do about 15 minutes in the beginning of my show, and I purposely take real care with that 15 minutes of news because I want people to get the truth, both about the Catholic world and the secular world as well. And I think we have to be very careful because some in the Catholic world may think, well, you're going to have these conservative sites that are going to be much more friendly to Catholicism because a conservative may be more faithful. They may be Christians who may not agree with everything we teach, but at least they're going to give us a decent shot at balance. But I've noticed even a few times where if people don't like a particular bishop or a pope, if they're, and I know looking at these different reporters and writers, that they understand how the church operates. And I was very disappointed in a Catholic writer, I won't mention his or her name, it was not on one of our outlets, by the way, it was another, it was actually a conservative outlet, it wasn't even a Catholic or a Christian outlet. But the person who wrote this story was Catholic and has a lot of background in understanding the Catholic faith, and really misrepresented the Pope in this case, in the sense that he made it sound like this person who was allowed to go to this conference was personally invited by the Pope, even though this person was very controversial. Now, I've actually had the opportunity to speak at Vatican conferences and cover many of them. These Vatican conferences are often massive. Several hundred people are in attendance, and usually you get approval from the bishop or get somehow invited and approved, but the Pope does not know every single person in that registration, you know, who's registering for this conference or has been approved for the conference. So to sit there and say the Pope invited this particular person is giving the wrong impression. And I thought, you know better than that. And this was from a conservative site. Now, on the other hand, you've got, you know, you can lean all the way to the left, and there could be some really wild things. So it's really important for those of us who are covering the Catholic Church, especially in the Catholic Church, to make sure we know the reality of the situation and understand, not that we have theology degrees, but to understand how the hierarchy works, at least enough about the system to say that's not a legitimate story, and to nicely call our brothers and sisters out on it. And it can happen on the right, and it can happen on the left. And I think that's what Annie and I, in the way we cover our news, I think we do a really good job. We even converse back and forth about particular stories. Annie sent me a story a couple weeks ago about abortion, and we actually did a segment on my show about it. So it's really important to understand that while even those who may be more conservative, they may be trying to get their own agendas out there as well. It happens on both sides of the aisle, and we have to be aware of that.
You know, Jeanette, you're in a unique situation compared to your colleagues because you do not go out and cover stories per se, but you manage a team of people that actually do most of that work. How do you instruct them with regard to, you know, guarding themselves against, you know, maybe prejudging the motives of some of the people that maybe don't share the opinions that we share?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good question. I mean, we talk about a story a lot up front with a team of editors to make sure that we're thinking of every angle of that story so that we're not going into it with simply our prejudged notions. Can I give you an example? We were covering World Youth Day, and before World Youth Day, there was some question as to whether or not the interreligious dialogue would take too much space in this World Youth Day, taking the focus off of a Christocentric focus, I should say. And I had a team of writers who wrote about this beforehand express the worry. I think it was right to express that worry. But as World Youth Day went on and we saw that this wasn't an issue during World Youth Day, one of my European writers I assigned her a follow-up, and she said, you know, I see this quite differently. In Europe, this interreligious dialogue is very important. We're seeing, you know, the rise of the Islamic religion. We're, you know, in France, that's kind of overtaken Catholicism even, and this interreligious dialogue is crucial. So she said, I didn't see the controversy the way the Americans saw it. So she did a follow-up story that spoke to the situation on the ground, and that kind of taught our whole team of editors to sort of back up a bit and see the world from a different perspective, not just an American perspective, but, you know, a French perspective, a Portuguese perspective, a German perspective. And so we always have to challenge ourselves to make sure we're asking all the questions that need to be asked, that we're seeing the truth in its totality, and that we're giving the context that is truly there.
You know, Anna, in the last decade or even a little bit before that, one of the biggest changes that we've seen in the journalistic world is, you know, you don't just have newspapers or the nightly news that you get your information from. There are every kind of platform that you could possibly imagine out there where people can generate and consume their news, and really owning a cell phone seems to be the only qualification for calling yourself a journalist in this day and age. Some of these platforms can be some pretty dark places for a person of faith to wander into. How do you find the balance between what you do on all the various platforms that are available to you?
Well, I really want to encourage people to be careful about where they're consuming media. I think this is a great point, Jack, because it is. It's like right at your fingertips. All you need is a cell phone camera, and all of a sudden you're a citizen journalist. And you know, I know we've just kind of spent a little bit of time sort of knocking down secular journalists for their lack of trying to understand things like the Catholic Church. But at the same time, there is some training there that is very helpful when trying to tell a story. And, you know, the average person on the street that's grabbing their cell phone and taking video of this or that situation and just putting it out on the internet and allowing people to form their own opinions about it. I mean, it sounds nice, but at the same time, everybody's coming at these videos with their preconceived notions of you know, whatever. I mean, I don't have a specific situation in mind here, but you've got to be careful about going to a place like Twitter, for instance, and creating echo chambers and creating this world for yourself in which you are certain that your point of view is the absolute truth and there is no swaying from it, and you can compile your own, you can compile your own echo chamber of people who are like-minded, and then we become very narrow-minded. And like Jeanette was just saying about the World Youth Day story, to be able to take a step back and to look at the world around us is very Catholic. And so we need to remember that as we're consuming news. I mean, I know that there are a lot of institutional journalistic entities that we don't feel like we can trust anymore. And I totally get that. But going in the opposite direction is just as dangerous.
You know, Jeanette, if St. Paul were alive today, I can promise you that he would be on social media, because to a large degree, that's where the people are. How do you handle all of the various platforms that are available to you when you're managing this team of people that are trying to report the news from a Catholic perspective?
Thank God we have a team. I mean, it's just a tremendous amount of work to stay on top of the news today in all the places that people want to consume it. And I think that I just thank God every day for the team, especially, you know, speaking of an event like World Youth Day, where so many people were on the ground there trying to cover it from that perspective. But how do we do it? Again, we follow all the media ourselves in all those different platforms. Listen to the conversations that are happening there, the dialogues that are happening there, and really seek a way to engage it. If it does seem to be kind of going off an end that is, it doesn't completely make sense, or there's a lot of truth missing from that conversation, we want to enter that conversation. We want to be there and try to offer more light. If it's a hot situation, we want to diffuse it a little bit. I think one of the most important things about engaging, especially on social media, is not to always add heat, more heat to the fire that's there. I mean, Twitter itself is especially prone for, you know, lit matches everywhere, and it just blows up. And a lot of times in those situations, people don't change their opinions. There's no easy way to evangelize when you're adding only heat, not light. And so I think that's something that my team really tries to keep in mind. Can we add something to this conversation, especially on social media? And of course, it's easy to do that when you're speaking about good news, especially if you're doing it with images, you know, with reels or with Instagram and just a lot of great pictures. And so we try to pump in the more positive stuff into some of those places that are typically pretty dark.
You know, Teresa, back in 1981, cable television in and of itself was completely revolutionary. I mean, we thought MTV and ESPN were the be-all, end-all of technology. Could you ever have imagined when you got involved in this that we would see the landscape as it sits today?
No, that is just a great question, because I can remember when I first started, there were very few. I mean, every reporter worked for a particular station. If you worked for Channel 7, the ABC affiliate, you worked for them. If you worked for NBC, you worked for NBC affiliate. And it was a known, you could not work for any other outlet. You could not, let's say, cross over and even write for a newspaper unless maybe you were a columnist and not in the news business. So there's so much crossover now that's happening because the conglomerates are all constructed differently now, as opposed to just the CBSs, ABCs, and NBCs. You have all of these outlets, and many of them are owned by one company. So you have these different journalists crossing over into these different channels. But the other thing too, getting back to what Annie was saying in terms of, and what Jeanette was saying, and you were asking, Jack, about all the different outlets that are out there, it's really important, and we want to encourage people, if you see something, obviously, that looks interesting and may make a good story or something you want to post, that's fine. But a lot of people don't have that discernment as a trained reporter in terms of asking the who, what, why, and how. Who, what, why, and how. Where's your sourcing? Where's your attribution? You know, during COVID and during the 2020 election, I was amazed at how many of our people, they're very passionate about different things. And not just our listeners or viewers, but a lot of people on Facebook or people that were emailing me. And were believing something that someone caught, let's say, on camera on their cell phone, or an opinion piece that somebody did on their own, just on their camera in their basement. And they were sending it to me and telling me this was the gospel truth. And why wasn't I running with this? And I said to them, okay, let me give you a little bit of journalism 101. And I asked them basic questions, and they couldn't answer any of them. And I said, this is what you have to think about when you're looking out at all of these different platforms in order to figure out what's reality. And again, as Annie was saying, if there's just an echo chamber, and if it's just reaffirming your opinion without facts, without attribution, you know, the proper sourcing, then I think we have to be really, really leery of that. And a lot of this, again, comes from the fact that, you know, we started with those independent stations and those cable networks way, way back, but now it's just exploded. And people can't even tell the difference anymore, Jack, sometimes, whether they're watching, you know, an actual network or just something that somebody put together, because it's so easy now to look sophisticated with all the different apps and procedures you can go through on your own.
You know, Jeanette, anybody who's watching us now who's maybe thinking about getting involved in journalism from a Catholic perspective, what piece of advice would you give them?
Ooh, please contact me. Well, let's see. I would say, you know your craft. Know the craft of journalism. I think that's crucial. Knowing how to tell a good story, the who, what, when, why, where that Teresa was just talking about is the basics. You really need to know where to look. And practice storytelling as well, because, you know, you get the facts out there. But almost every journal, every outlet right now is trying to do the same thing. So a lot of times it depends on the best storyteller. Who can really get a great headline? Who can really nail that nugget graph, the nut graph, you know, and really get the story out there in a creative way? I would two things precisely, you know the craft of journalism and then work at that storytelling aspect of journalism.
Anna, same question to you. If somebody managed to get themselves out of a secular journalism program and still respect their faith, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, well, I have to double down on what Jeanette just said. Learn how to tell a story and learn how to listen. I think that was the Pope's Communications Day message from a couple of years ago, the importance of listening and being able to ask questions. This is something that I've really tried to focus on a lot, being on Catholic radio and my primary form of reporting anymore. I mean, I do newscasts, of course, but my primary form of reporting is to interview people who are on the story, whether they actually are the story or part of the story, or whether they're a journalist who's there on the ground somewhere around the country or around the world that is an eyewitness of whatever it is that we're trying to cover. And being able to listen and to think critically and to think. Quite honestly, I mean, I think that sometimes we don't just sit back and think about what is important. What are the important things that a person needs to know about this particular issue, whatever it happens to be, if it's the Pope, if it's something about the church, or if it's something about politics, what are the things that people need to know in order to pursue the greater truth, to pursue the greater good out of this? Because we should be, as journalists, operating in service of the truth, and we should not be afraid of the truth. And that's the other piece of advice that I would say, is ask those probing questions and don't be afraid. We as Catholics have the truth on our side. We have two millennia of history of our church hierarchy, of our church fathers and mothers asking the questions and not being afraid to dialogue.
Exactly.
and to really dig at the truth. We don't have to be afraid of the truth, because the truth is God. And so to have a better understanding of the truth, to have that formation is so important for a journalist today, whether you're in Catholic media or in secular media. Go
Absolutely.
After the truth. Don't be afraid of it.
Very well said. Thank you again, Teresa, Anna, and Jeanette. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to tune in next week here on the Catholic Sphere with host Doug Keck.